Thank you, Adam.
It is true. I can't remember being introduced by Adam before all these years up in Michigan. It's probably happened, but I thought for sure he was going to say, the sound of my voice, I thought he would say, make sure you follow along with the scriptures, because I do have a way of reading unique words in where they shouldn't be and skipping a few. So make sure you follow along. Bring out my helpers here so I can see. Is it, you hit black, I wasn't hitting the right button, even with my helpers. All in, all the time. Some of you might recognize this picture from the pool. I believe it was this year. I can't be sure. As I was thinking about what I was going to say tonight, I was meditating on that, and I had some words given in April, and I came back to that, and I wasn't done. So I came back to that theme, and as you'll see, there might be a couple of things presented that I started on when I had the prayer service during the April conference. But that's what the theme is, all in, all the time. And I have a lot of pictures, and therefore I won't have to speak much tonight, I don't think. But should be, as I was looking at it, it doesn't look like it's too long, so let us hope. Another picture from camp. And from what I can see, I wasn't there, but it doesn't look like they have much food out there, because all these men, those young men, are fighting for one watermelon. Food must be scarce. And I've been thinking a lot about this question. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Got a question for you. Are we ready today? Are we ready for that union today? If not, what changes would we make? When are we supposed to do all this? It says we're supposed to have ourselves ready when he comes. And are we ready? That's what we're going to talk about. I think the scripture is a good one for talking about our mission in front of us. In Jacob, let us turn to Jacob 3, 138. For behold, this last time I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up myself against the time which shall soon come. And it came to pass, the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored with them also. And they did obey in the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. I know this probably started in 1830 when the Lord started calling servants again. But I think the majority of our work is still ahead of us. So I, for my own personal belief, I think that most of this is set in the future, although it has already started. And the point I want to bring out here is, they obeyed the commandments of God in all things. Are we there? You know, Trevor brought up an interesting point that I'll capitalize on. He said, it would be very specific instructions that we're going to get. And I agree with that. I think, you know, just as our brother Brian had that vision out in that he was going to go to Africa, he didn't really know it was Africa until he seen it. And the direction and the callings that we get are going to be very specific. And we'll have to be in tune with the Lord. Because we're going to have to obey the commandments of God in all things. And I don't think we're ready there. I think we have a ways to go that we can be in that kind of tune with the Lord. And that's what I want to present tonight. How do we get in that sort of tune with God in all things? Verse 141, "And there began to be natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and cast away, and did root, keep root, and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. And thus they labored with all diligence, according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had been cast out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved himself, and the trees had become again the natural fruit." Certainly we're not that time period yet. All the bad has not been removed. And he says he's going to clear away some of the trees to make room for this gospel to grow. And that's what he's doing. It's not going all at once. It's going to be as the bad is cleared away, we're going to go forth. But the point I want to bring out here is all diligence they labored in the vineyard. And it's us. I know our brother has this morning said that he believes every one of the Church of Christ believes we are the true Church of Christ, and that this work that's presented here that goes out in another place that says we're going to convert the Gentiles, it says the Jews, and the people of this land. We're in America today, so this land, we're going to convert them. And he thought, you know, I don't want to put him on the spot, but he believes all of us believe that we are the true church that's going to do that. I hope that's true. I hope that's true. Sometimes I don't hear that. You know, and I hope that's true, that all of us believe that, because I believe that with all my heart, and I know our brother does, and I hope that we do, because we have that great commission in front of us. If I asked you, well, before I go on that route, let us take another couple of looks at a couple of pictures here. I'm not going to talk about the mustaches. But and it is true for those that were at the camp, it is true that sometimes when I'm out there, they do get confused if it's I'm singing in the video or somebody else. They do kind of get the impression it's me. So, it's kind of an inside joke that they accuse me of using Joel's voice and I say it's mine, but they sometimes do get confused. But the other thing I was going to comment on, I can go without a beat. We don't always use these lights on front of us, but we can go without a beat in our sermons out there when we're traveling, and we can be up and operational without missing a beat. It is true. That is true also. We never go home, or at least out in the world, without one of those. And we're always standing ready. And we don't miss a beat. But I don't always preach with that on my forehead. Only when we need it. I got this picture from Placido. And another one here. This year's camp out there. Very successful. He was very happy. What he forgot to, you know, I asked these for several weeks ago or several days ago at least. I don't know how long ago it was. And he sent them to me. And he also sent me to that new ordained elder out there. And I have that for you. What he did after he sent it to me, I told him I wanted it for my presentation here. I wanted something, you know, exciting and stuff like that. And the kids. And he says, okay, sure. And he sent it to me, and then he sent it to all you guys. So I got nothing new from Placido here, but you all have it already. I explained to him that wasn't the current point, Placido, but I have it anyway. Here's our 2014 vacation school. A mirage of pictures. Kenya, I didn't get this year's, but they have camps every year in Kenya also. And we have them around the world. My question is, Why do we send all this money? Sending our kids all the way around the world, sending the kids to this camp. We fund it in Kenya. We fund it to Philippines, no doubt about it. I'm sure of it. Right, brothers? Kenya, we have one? Youth camp of some sort. We do these things all over the world. Why do we do it? Need a break from our kids for a week? Yeah? No? I'll hear from you. What? Any one parent out there, why do you send your kids to camp? Strengthen them. Thank you. Bonds and relationships. Excellent reasons. And I know we all do it for that reason. You know, our brother Lehi knew the scriptures well. And he quotes from Proverbs here, paraphrases maybe, but let me read it. For those audio, it's 2 Nephi, 3rd chapter, verses 11 and 10. Maybe I went backwards there. 10 and 11. But behold, my sons and my daughters, I cannot go down into my grave, save it should, leave a blessing upon you. You know, Lehi has given different blessings out. He's given it to his sons. And now he's on to the grandkids, and he calls them his sons and daughters. Verse 11. For behold, I know that if ye are brought up in the right way that ye should go, ye will not depart from it. A little different reading in Proverbs. Train your child in the way ye should go. It goes like that. Wherefore, if ye are cursed, behold, I leave you my blessing upon you, that the cursing may be taken from you and answered upon the heads of your parents. A grave responsibility to parents. And we know, you know, and we, at least we should in the Church of Christ, that blessing and that curse goes upon us if we don't teach our children the way of the Lord. And I think under the inspiration, he knew the children would not be taught sufficiently because they rebelled just after his death, their parents. And so that cursing went upon their parents because they didn't teach them in the way they should go. And, you know, Lehi was very wise, but he used this scripture. And he taught his children. He taught Nephi just as he taught Lemuel and Laban. And what he was thinking, you know, he quoted this scripture. And I don't think Laban and Lemuel made it. So that scripture, we all know, is generally true. Or it's hard to go outside the Lord if we train them right. And, but he used it. And, you know, that's hard for a parent. We do our best, but still, it comes down to freedom of choice, doesn't it? And, you know, if it wasn't so, you know, we'd all be robots. You know, I'm going to train my kids upright, and they have to now come back. You know, they don't have a choice. And it takes away their freedom of choice. But almost always, that's true. It says when they're old. It doesn't say when they're older. It says when they're old. So we always have that hope that we can go back. And the Lord definitely will help in that. Even with, look at the example of Lehi. I don't think his children made it, some of them. Lemuel and Laban and Lemuel. But look what all he did for Lehi in this. You know, he sent an angel down to him. God shocked him at one point. They had a compass that they were seeing great miracles with. God helped in every way he could, but they still had freedom of choice. And it's generally true. We look upon that. Besides sending our kids to camp that we do once a year, are we now off the hook? Is our job done? No. I'm seeing no anyway. No, it's not. And there's some other good scriptures out there. Deuteronomy's an excellent one. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. We've heard that today, haven't we? In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That doesn't leave much time for when we're not with them, does it? We're to teach them. This, you know, Lehi and Nephi, I remember talking about his dad, and he says, you know, I had goodly parents. And the reason he gave for that, he says, because they taught me. And they taught me to read out of the scriptures is what he was saying. You know, you put a couple of scriptures together and you can find that's what they taught him. And that's why his parents were goodly parents, because they taught him the way of God and he didn't depart from it. And that's why it's so important. Now, with that, I want to show you some examples of some success stories, if you will. I've been going down to the Yucatan for many years, and I'll just ask before I go to that, what is the best way we can teach our children? So, example, exactly. I'm glad you got that, Becky. Makes it easier on me if you guys are proactive. This is a picture that was taken in 1997 when I was down there. Some locals are doing extremely well down there. And we were out there about almost a year ago. I haven't been out there since, but been out there a year ago. And this picture was taken in 1997. And at the time we were going out there, I was not, of course, in the ministry. That was well after that. It was a few years ago. But we were out there, and we would go to these different sites the first time. And they would ask me the question. And they would say, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I do this and I do that. No, no, what do you do in the church? What do you do? You know, and they were all playing instruments, or they were singing in the choir, or they were, you know, doing all these things. And they were asking Betsy and I, what did we do? Well, the next time I went there, I made sure that, you know, the rule was for a man to either give a testimony, sing a song, do a poem. You're going to do something. But we're, you know, because these guys are showing us up badly. You know, us Americans, we can sit back there in the crowd and let the ministry sometimes, and I did, let the ministry do the work. But I seen some of the things that they were doing right. They aren't perfect out there, but they were doing some things extremely right back in 1997 when I first started going out there. And nowadays, I went out there last year, and they, you know, they go to church four times a week. They go Saturday night, they go Sunday twice, they go one time during the week, depending on which local it is. And I was so excited that they could do that. And when I went back this last time, they improved that quite a bit. Now they, during the week, the ladies are getting together, and they're going over to somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's sick, another lady. And they have a service over there, just the ladies. You know, and Placid would grab me, and he'd take me out, and we would go to somebody's house that wanted to hear the gospel. And a lot of people want to hear the gospel now. It's going faster than they have ministry. So I was really glad to hear another one was called. But, you know, they're just busy, and they'll work. If you, one of your ministry go out there, I'm sure Darren was just out there. I bet they worked him to death. And, cause that's work's just so active out there. And like I say, I don't want to give you the impression they're perfect, but they are working, and it is active, and they are excited, and there's a lot of excitement going on around that area. More people want to hear the gospel than they actually have time. Take you back to 2005. And now I have to do this.
Hallelujah.
I should probably give you a cue that I was going to do that. I don't know if you heard that or not, but that's Santiago and his family. That was 9.5 years ago, and those young teens there, the reason I showed you this, those young teens, the ones not so young, young lady anyway, but these teens, these young teens. And Santiago, I think, was called last year to be an elder. He's now the pastor of Yobain. Those kids that were raised from day one in the gospel. And I said they're busy 4 times a week. Now they're busy more often than that. But they're up front. They're doing in front of their peers from day one. And they're not afraid to get up there and do what it requires. Those teens, I probably have a picture. Yeah, picture of those young teens today. Now they're the teachers of the children's reunion this year. And I got to tell you that I don't think they lost to one of them. From the time I've been going there, Yobain, the kids I've seen are now the active members of the activities group, and they put on plays, and they're all there, you know, because of what their parents did for them. Busy, busy, busy every single week. I'm not saying once in a while. Every single week they're up there, at least, at a minimum, singing songs to the congregation. Every single week. And they didn't lose one of them. This is a quote from Placido. And all of them started in children's reunion after them as campers and counselors. Now they coordinate and organize in camps. Well, they do more than that because they're busy every single week in their congregations. And like I say, across the board, they meet four times a week minimal. And some of them are, a couple of the three of the locals are busier than that for sure. A couple of the pictures you may recognize. Right there, lady. You've probably seen her testimony if circulated. I know Jay sent the transcript around of her testimony back in 2008. There's Placido's daughter. There's her cousin. That one right there, her grandfather was the one the angel visited and said, these things are going to take place. You're going to have a huge storm out there in the port you have. And he gave, and you can read about that. There's The Last Mayan King, if you want to read about that. But her grandfather was one of the men that it met along the path. And he told her that story. And if you meet that girl, I know my mother did, and she says, spirit's strong with that one. You know, you could just feel it. Very devoted girl. And their family, you know, her grandfather is a minister. And all of those young adults, I've been seeing them since before they were that high, if you will. All of those. And, there's Mayapan here, and there's Wild K, and Yucatan, Yobain there. So, those kids, and like I say, the ones in Yobain, I don't think they lost a one, and they're very active to this day. Now this group here is, when we were out there, and Shayla, Placido's son, they used to be this age, you know, I can remember when, and they were teaching them. Now they're the ones that are teachers. And Shayla and her cousin were running this group, and they have a little gringo there also. This is the group at YLK, and you know, which group don't you? I mean, it's 100% of the people at least, at a minimum, are in the choir, whether it's a men's choir or the ladies, and you can see the traditional outfits, or the young adults, or the smallest and the smaller kids. You know, it's 100% every week. And that's the part I want to stress. They are used to getting up front. They are used to doing these things. That is their life from day one out there. And that's the things that they're doing correctly. And that guy probably right there is probably the same. Yeah, same one right there. Elder Daniel Koo. Just was now the pastor of that local. Used to be a really hard place there. They used to fight the gauntlet with drunks throwing beer cans and stuff at them and rocks in their building. But that survived, and now it's one of our fastest growing places there is. Over 100 members and 100 that meet there every Sunday. This is something I wanted to talk about, go into the next phase here. Moses did all these mighty miracles. And we're not going to turn to those scriptures, but we know all the miracles that came from Moses. You know, he, of course, God worked to part the seas, but he also turned the river to blood, frogs, lice, flies, death to the Egyptian cattle. Boils on the Egyptians, hail, fire, locust, darkness. The list goes on. And they all came through the hand of Moses. And I think I will turn to Numbers, at least the last part. We can paraphrase what's going on here. Numbers 11. First part of that, it talks about Moses. You know, he was tired of hearing the cries of the people. And he asked God to help him out. And he did. And he told him to find 70 of the elders. And he was going to give them the Holy Spirit. And he did so. Instead of Miss Moses having all the gifts, you know, great miracles. When they talk about great miracles, that's like the blind or the, you know, a blind man healed. If we were to do that today, that would be a great miracle, wouldn't it? And these are the kind of things that are called great miracles that were being done. And, you know, Moses asked for the gift of God to be given to 70, or he didn't ask, but he asked for help. God gave him 70 men. And, in verse 29 it says, and Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would that God, that all the peoples were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Moses looked forward to a day that all of them would have the Spirit of God. And, you know, instead of, you know, 70 amongst thousands, it helped. It helped. But was Israel after that date, were they a good people? Were they upright and walked after God after that date? No. No, they didn't. They hardly, you know, seen the miracle. And it said their food was in their mouth and they sinned. They sinned. You know, 70 is better than one. But the, you know, Moses looked and he hoped for the day that God would put a spirit in all the people. That day is now. You know, you can join the Church of Christ like our brother did this day, and you can have that spirit to be in you. And that day is upon us. It's a perfect system. You know, where Moses and 70, this is perfect. This is a church that everybody has a function. And I got a couple of things that, you know, it's recognized out there. That's a growing, that's a, you know, a prescription for a healthy church. And you probably can't see it, but it says 1 Corinthians 12. And it tells us, God tells us that is a prescription for a healthy church. When everybody has a different gifts and they all participate, that's how it's meant to be. That's what God wants. I'll just read the one verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Now ye are one body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts, healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Which of those don't edify the church? Which of those don't build the kingdom of God? They all do. They all do. You know, it's a perfect system. He expects us all to use our gifts and callings and those things. And most of those, I'll argue right there in just that verse, at least 50% to, and I would say most, are not qualifications of just ministry. There are others. There are helps, governments, healings, diversity of tongues, prophecy, prophets. You know, those type of things are for everybody. Too often we look to, well, you know, I'll get my minister to do that. You know, or I'm going to have him talk to my minister, which is not always a bad idea. But, you know, a lot of times our friends that we're talking with out there, they want to hear why we're a member of the Church of Christ. They want to know what we think, you know. And these gifts and callings here that they're talking about, they're something that each one of us do in our church. That's how a great, functioning, healthy church acts. And I want to talk a little bit more of that, but there's a saying amongst the world, and it's a true saying. If one guy, one person, one pastor, doesn't matter who it is, one Moses, if he's doing all the work, you have a weak church. You have a house of Israel. Rebellious is what you have. What we have to have is a church where everybody's doing work. Everybody. All the time. What is this picture? What's that remind you of? Christ picking up his cross? Is it a saying that we might think of? Thank you. Pick up your cross. What does it mean? What does it mean? We know the saying off the top of our head, but it means to get busy, doesn't it? It means whatever that is, we have to get involved. You know, so what is our challenge? What is our challenge? Let us read in Romans here, the 12th chapter, 1 through 15. I don't know if I'll read all that, but 1 through 15. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service, your duty, is to present yourself to God, to do His will. That's what's expected, a reasonable service. Be not comforted to this world, but be transformed to renewing of your mind, that you may prove which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Verse 4. For we have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one another. Having then the gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or him that exhorteth, exhortation, or him that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever we're given at the time of our confirmation, whatever gifts we're given, whatever gifts we're given later, if we're called to the ministry, whatever we're given, we're to use those gifts. And I wanted to say something else, but I lost it. So maybe I'll come back to that. I'm going to use that mic again. Did I turn it off? Probably not. Here's a testimony by our sister. She was given a certain gift, And it's called, what is it called? Whatever it is, able to see angels or messengers or thank you. Beholding of angels. Our sister has that, no doubt about it. I want you to listen to her. It might be a little bad audio, but I'll talk a little bit about it. It's only 1 minute long that I'm going to play here. Start with that last. Christ is coming soon. You know, a 19-year-old girl had five visitations, new things that no man would know. Her dreams, going behind locked buildings, appearing out of thin air, and it's kind of in your face. You can't say she imagined it. You can say she's lying. And I've known her since she was 8 years old, and I do not believe that. And I think if you heard her and know her, you'd know that she's not. So if you take it that she's telling the truth, then it says Christ is coming back. They need to get more active. This is the true Church of Christ. And what are we doing with our time? We need to get more active. I don't know if she said it there, but that's what she said. And we need more unity, if I haven't said that. But we are the true church, and we have the fullness of the gospel, and we need to get busy using it. Kind of in your face. The Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Yeah. So that's, is that just... Preach, that's preaching. Is that, so that's just the ministry, isn't it? Is that true? That's the one here. It says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and he that believeth in me that baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What goes along with that? Brethren, if any do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So that opens it up to more people. And here's even a better verse here. Let us turn to Alma, the second chapter. In verses 41 through 47. What was that? Three what? 42. It is page 302. Thank you. And they did not want, I don't think I want this. Oh, Alma 2, sorry. I'm just lost. What was it? 310? 310. I probably do. I hate. How about this is Alma 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. I was seeing this, but I was reading, you know, I see ahead, and I'm seeing something different, 41 to 47, and that's the next scripture. So that's why my confusion. I really do know where Alma's at. All right, let us read that. And so great were the afflictions that every soul had cause to mourn, and they did believe it was the judgments of God sent upon them, because their wickedness and abominations. Therefore, they were awakened to the remembrance of their duty, and they began to establish the church more fully. Yea, and many were baptized in the waters of Sidon, and they were joined unto the church of God. These people of the church knew it was their duty and responsibility to establish the church of Christ more fully. And they joined in, and they did that. And they understood that God's judgments was upon them. And it's every member's responsibility for that cause. And I don't know if it's me, but, you know, I get the impression sometimes that we look only to the ministry. And the truth for me is that more times than not, when we get new people in, it's the lay members that bring them in, you know, by their testimony. You know, we may preach to them, but, you know, when we go overseas, we don't go out to these masses and convert them all. They're all waiting for us. You know, their brothers and sisters have already brought them in to be preached to. Many of them had dreams and visions, and, you know, God did that. And we can't take credit for that, but, you know, it's a duty of us to use our gifts and our talents to bring these people in. And this is just a good scriptures, and there's many more. I would like to spend the remainder of my time here and look at the examples that we have of the church of the New World, as well as Jerusalem. And there's that 47 I was looking at. Verse 41 says this, and this is right at the day of Pentecost. And they were gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. And they fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. First thing, many signs and wonders. I'll probably bring that up. And they were all believers, and all that believed were together, and they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and their goods and parted them amongst men and every man that had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such would be saved. And I believe that daily means daily. I believe they did meet daily. And you read any commentary on this and they'll say as much. You know, that's what they did. And they added to church daily. They had baptisms daily. That's how you added to the church. And they had many signs and wonders from the apostles. That was the church after it was first established there in Jerusalem. They started calling it the church that day because the gifts were given unto men and women. And they all flourished. And that's the perfect system for flourishing, to have a successful church, is to use and have those gifts among us. So that's, let me see if I missed anything. All things common. That's an interesting thought. You know, here's a few quotes from the church. You know, most of us know that, you know, that they didn't all sell their houses. They all had houses around Israel. And they didn't. We hear of, you know, Timothy and all these guys. They had houses that they met in. So they didn't all sell their homes. They did that in Jerusalem. But yet they had all things common. You know, they considered themselves to have all things common for at least 200 years. Let me read a couple of things. You share all things with your neighbor. You do not call things your own. For if ye are partakers of the common things that are incorruptible, how much more should ye be for those things that are corruptible? Barnabas. And there are several others. I probably won't read them all. But where I'm going with this is they considered themselves to have all things common. Doesn't mean they sold their houses. They did that in Jerusalem because they all came there for that feast and they had to feed everybody. But they did consider themselves to have all things common. And all things therefore are common. And not for the rich. And let me skip down for brevity. And it says, know very well that God hath given us liberty of use, but only so far as necessity. He that it has determined the use should be common, for it is monstrous for one to live in luxury while many are in need. And before you write this off, I'm not trying to say that we try to adopt a new practice here, but it was a condition of the new church. This was a condition that they were in. They had all things common amongst them. And, you know, many have tried since like 200 AD, and it's always been a failure. It takes common purpose for sure. Another one quote here, Justice Martyr, got his name for obvious reasons. We should use to the value above everything the acquisition of wealth and possessions, now being what we have into the common stock, and share with everyone in need. So they had a common stock and they shared it with their brothers and sisters. And one last one, and this is all the way to 200 AD, they held on to the all things common. And this was addressed to the pagans. Family possessions, which usually destroy the brotherhood among you. Remember, he's talking to pagans. Create fraternity bonds among us, being one in mind and soul. We do not hesitate to share our earthly goods with one another. All things are common among us. The church over in this land, what was unique about them when God's when they started the after Christ's resurrection? 4 Nephi. And we're addressing, if I've lost you, we're addressing what will the church look like. And I guarantee it, it will have this in it. It will have these things. The same things we've seen at the church on the day of Pentecost, the church of Christ, when we meet God, will have those things in us. And we will have things, all things common among us. 4-7. And they had all things common among them. Therefore, there were not rich or poor, bond and free, but they were all made free, partakers of the heavenly gift. And it came to pass the 37th year passed away also, and there continued to be peace in the land. And there were great and marvelous works wrought upon by the disciples of Christ. Insomuch they did heal the sick, raise the dead, cause the lame to walk, blind to receive their sight, deaf to hear. And I guarantee also these are mighty miracles that would catch anybody's eyes. And I think that we'll have, and I know we'll have these among us again. These great and marvelous gifts. And you know, it doesn't take too many. If we were to do a few, if God was to do a few of these mighty works overseas, you know, you'd get some headlines. I guarantee it. But, you know, I think those things are coming. I know those things are coming again. Let us scroll down to 13 and 14. And they did not walk anymore after the performances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments they had received from the Lord their God, and continued fasting and prayer, meeting together oft to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. There again, they're meeting together oft. In the other church, we find that they met daily. And it came to pass there was no contention among all the people in the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought upon by the disciples of Christ. Disciples of Jesus. Verse 17, it came to pass as there was no contention in all the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. There were no envyings, strifes, tumults, no whoredoms, no lying, no murders, nor any kind of lasciviousness. But there, just one more. And surely there could not have been a happier people among the created by the hand of God. You know, that's the time that, you know, you see the similarities they had. They had the same thing in both lands. And that's what we're striving for. That unity, great unity, that they had all things common. They were of one purpose. They did not care about their personal possessions. They met together oft. That's where we're going. They had perfect, I guess I would sum it up, they had perfect harmony in the love of God. I think maybe I'm at the final slide here. All in, all pulling in the same direction all the time. That's the theme. Our boys here that are shown are about to learn a lesson in numbers prevail. One's almost on his year right now. And these girls are about to pull him over. The more people that we have pulling in the same direction, the stronger we are. And this is a visual example of that. And I'm not going to read Ecclesiastes 4, 8 through 12, but if you go there, it's going to tell you the same. It's going to say, as we add numbers, we become stronger. As long as we have the same purpose, we're pulling in the same direction. If you get somebody pulling from the side or pulling opposite, it weakens us. And the other picture I have there is, I label that steadfast endurance. We all know the story of the turtle and the hare. You know, the turtle won that war very slow. It's that always active that we need to strive for. You know, we have to always be striving in the right direction every single week. You know, that's the key here. We have to be united in purpose. We need to get everybody involved, putting our gifts and talents to work all the time. After all, a true follower does his reasonable service, as we read in Romans. You know, and that's the end of my text here. And I would just add, you know, that there's energetic people in our churches. And a lot of times the ministry doesn't have to do anything but just get out of their way. And they have good ideas. And, you know, the more people that are doing things, you know, our brother, before I even got there, had a host of activities that, you know, we vote somebody in the kitchen committee. We have internet committees, you know, for AV. We have, people that open the service. We have, men and women that teach, our children. We have a lot of, you know, they started on their own. The kids started a Thursday night service. That it's you know, they lead that. You know, they started that. I wrote on my hand. I'm gonna look at it. They started the choir service. You know, I didn't start it. They started it. A great idea. Now we have a nice choir, and they're at least half the congregation are active in that choir. You know, these are good ideas, and I think we have to get on the same page and be more active. You know, I use the examples to show you what produced by getting your kids involved from an early age and getting, you know, have them sing, if nothing more than specials all the time. And they, Yobain landed 100% of their kids. They started years ago from my observation. They're all active. And, we just, I guess I don't have too much to say about that anymore, but, I know that's the answer. And, we just have to get more people involved in more activities pulling the same direction. Each one of our congregations and locals. And I see the success they've had overseas, and I just wanted to share that with you because I just know it's true. And so, I guess that's it. I guess Adam, read the announcements. Thank you for your time.